Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, it's your creation is beautiful, and it reminds us of what an amazing creator you are. Lord, the way that you change the seasons, and Lord, it just gives testimony to your power. And Lord, that you're the creator, that we're your creation, and Lord, we read your word and we see that you love us deeply and intimately, and you call us into a relationship with you. And so God, this morning as we've come here in this place, we want to worship you in spirit and truth. We want to connect our heart to your heart, and we want to hear from you. God, we know that you're in this place. Your spirit is alive, and so we invite you this morning to speak to us, and Lord, we pray that our hearts would be vulnerable before you, that we would allow you to nudge and to poke and to prod where you need to, so that you can cause us to love you more. God, thank you that you have power to speak into our hearts and into our lives. Lord, we offer up ourselves to you today as a sacrifice of praise. Lord, speak to us through this text. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I'm really glad you're here this morning, like I said. And it's the new year is upon us. And it's a season of new beginnings. And so I wanted to share with you this morning just a couple of interesting things I read this week about new beginnings. And I'm not really going to talk about New Year's resolutions, per se. You know, sometimes when we come into a new year, you get that classic, hey, it's New Year, so we're going to hear a sermon on New Year's resolutions and all that kind of stuff. And I want to take a different angle on it this morning, and it really has to do with a bit of a broader topic, and that idea of new beginnings. So think about this with me. I read this week, and I thought it was interesting, a couple different things here. Back in 1981, some of you might remember, I was only 5 years old at the time, but there was a woman by the name of Kin Linehan who held the world record in the women's 1500-meter freestyle. I don't know if you remember that or not, but the 18-year-old at the time was the leading amateur woman distance swimmer in the world. And it was said that Kim did endless exercises and swam 7 to 12 miles a day. Someone once asked her, what's the hardest part of your regimen? To which she replied, getting in the water. No, I thought that was funny. And then read this week as well. Did you know that the first electric light was so dim that a candle was needed to see its socket? All of these are new beginning things, so think about this. One of the first steamboats took 32 hours to chug its way from New York to Albany, a distance of only 150 miles. Think about that, 32 hours. Wilbur and Orville Wright's first Their flight lasted only 12 seconds. And the first automobiles traveled 2 to 4 miles per hour and often broke down. And so apparently at the time, carriages would pass them with their passengers in them, and they would shout out, get a horse! Which I thought was funny. You know, imagine that. New beginnings, okay? I want you to think in your mind about new beginnings, and we're going to talk about that this morning. It is a new year, and it's a time when, you know, we do start to think ahead. We think about next year. We think about changes. But as I said, I want to take a different look at it this morning, a little bit of a different angle. I want us to talk about and think about those times in your life when you're going through a new beginning, not because you're intentionally starting something, but because God has orchestrated something new in your life. He's bringing a new phase or a new season of something into your life. And so it's a new beginning in that sense. And, you know, we know that change is a part of life, right? Change happens all the time. And change is one of the ways that I believe that God works his will out in his lives. It's one of the ways that he works out his will in us and through us, you know, when change comes. And so new beginnings and change, or maybe it's a new season, a new chapter in life. Maybe you're transitioning from one something to another something. And we know that those times always bring their own unique challenges. And so I thought we would look at a passage of Scripture this morning that teaches us and helps us walk through these periods of new beginnings in our lives. Because new beginnings and new chapters and seasons, they don't just happen at the end of December. They don't just happen at the beginning of January, right? They can happen any time of the year. And so, you know, an example, it could be a new job, it could be a new school, it could be a new neighborhood, maybe a new season of life without something that you were used to for such a long period of time, maybe a career, possibly a friend, a family member. Maybe you encountered some type of a change in your life because something happened that just altered your life in some way. And so you realize that all of a sudden you were in a new season. And there's these come with difficulty, right? They come with challenges. They come with opportunities. And so I thought about this, and I thought, well, I think one of the questions that we need to ask is, how do we walk through them with the Lord's help so that there is peace in my heart, and at the same time so that God can do all that he wants to do in us and through us, okay? So that's, in a sense, the question that I think I want us to try and answer this morning, because we know that change is a part of life, and new beginnings happen, and new seasons come. And so how do we walk through it with wisdom, and how do we go through it well, okay? So if you would, if you have a Bible this morning, I encourage you to open up to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at some verses in chapter 1 of Joshua chapter 1, so open your Bibles there. And I want us to look at four principles that I think we see in the scriptures that help us to walk with the Lord and to trust him in some of the things that God says to us through his word when we come to periods of new seasons and things like that. So let me read for us together Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, we'll read through verse 9. This is what the scripture says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So here's the first thing I want to suggest, and I think it's a principle that we see here when we start to think about going through changes and new beginnings in our lives. And the first one is this, is learning to accept God's plan when a chapter closes. It's important that we be able to learn to accept God's plan when a chapter closes. So now we start to think here, look in the text, and we think about Moses with me for a minute, okay? So who was Moses? Well, Moses was God's leader for over 40 years. And when you think about Moses' life, you can break it up into three different periods of 40 years. You have the first period where he spent and he was raised in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house. That was the first 40 years of his life. And then he spent the second 40 years of his life wandering in the wilderness of Midian. And that was where he eventually had his burning bush experience with God. And then the last 40 years of his life, God had raised him up to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and out of slavery. You know, and Moses was an interesting man. He was raised a child of two different races. He struggled with his identity. Moses had problems speaking. He might have had a stuttering issue. Moses had to contend with physical handicaps. We read the scriptures, he had character flaws, and he had limitations that were imposed on him by his old age. Moses by no means was a superhero. He was simply an imperfect human who went from riches to rags, and was redeemed by God to liberate and to rescue Israel. And so when we think about Moses, after 40 years of looking to one man for leadership, okay, that period of time had now come to an end. Now think about that. 40 years. I think that's a long time. That's a long, long time. 40 years of the same guy leading the people of God. 40 years. And now a change, a new beginning was on the horizon for the people of Israel, and in particularly for one man by the name of Joshua, who was going to replace the leadership vacuum that was now in place because Moses was gone. And so Israel needed a leader, and God had used them to bring them up, God had used Moses, excuse me, to bring them up to the point of the doorstep of the promised land. But now it was Joshua, okay, that God was going to use to bring them in a major way. And so who was Joshua? Just a quick recap on the life of Joshua. Joshua, He was the commander of the army of the Israelites. And he's first mentioned in Exodus chapter 17. When we think about Joshua, we think about the fact that he was Moses' aide. He was a lot like a chief executive officer, if you will. And Joshua was one of the 12 spies who originally went in to the land of Canaan when God wanted to give it to them. And he was one of two who believed and had faith that he said, yes, we should go. We believe that God can do this. We believe that God can give us the land. We know that that didn't happen, and they spent 40 years wandering around the wilderness. And then, so Moses in Numbers chapter 27, if you look at that spot, that's where we see that the torch was originally going to be passed to Joshua, that Joshua was selected to replace Moses. And so now where we are today in the story is that Joshua was at a point in his life, as well as God's people, that they now had to accept that life had changed. I just think it's really important. I want to encourage you this morning to put yourself into the story. Imagine that you have been one of the Israelites, and you have been following Moses, and he's been your leader for 40 years. Okay? And so there's change that's happening. And so God comes to Joshua, and he says to him, Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then. And if you want to underline that in your Bible this morning, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead, now then. It's important that God says that. I'm going to talk about what that means. Well, so what's happening here? Well, God, I think he's doing two things here for Joshua, okay? Talking about this, learning to accept God's plan when a chapter closes. First of all, he speaks directly to Joshua that Moses is now gone. I mean, he knew this. But he's coming to him on a personal level. He's like, he's a counselor now. And he's putting his arms around Joshua, and he's saying, Joshua, Moses is now gone. And if you read the previous chapter, the Israelites had taken 30 days to take some time to grieve and to mourn the death of Moses. And God now comes to Moses, and he says to him, Joshua, Moses is dead. Okay, Joshua, it's time to accept this new reality that Moses is no longer here. Now, God knows that change is hard. He knows that when we feel a sense of loss, it's important and it's healthy for us to have a season of grieving, which is why we can read in the Bible, the previous chapter, that they had 30 days. They had 30 days of where they grieved, and they mourned, and they wept over the loss of Moses, that Moses was now gone. But God here, he's coming to Joshua. He's coming to Joshua to encourage him that there's something new that God wants to do. There's something new and there's something exciting that God wants to do, but for the first thing Joshua has to do after a period of grieving is that he has to come to a place of acceptance. And so this is why God comes to Joshua to build him up and to give him some encouragement about all the good things that are in store, that are down the road. But first he has to come to him, and he privately says to him, he says, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I just think when we're going through seasons of change in our lives, if it's a loss that requires grieving, grieve that loss. If it's a change that requires, you know, spending some time to grieve, do that. It's healthy for us to do that. That's why God, I think, he gave us the ability to shed tears. It's good for us. It's good for your heart. It's good for your soul. It's part of the way that God has wired us to deal with difficult things. But we also must learn to hear God speaking his words of life into you in those moments. And in those times. And we must learn to hear that God says, I want you to trust me. And I want you to put your hope in me. And in the sovereignty of God. And in the goodness of God. And we're going to talk about those two things a little bit more in depth. But notice again that this is why God, he comes to Joshua and he uses this phrase. He says, now then. Or therefore. Okay. Joshua, Moses is dead, he's gone. Now then. And so I think, why does someone say, now then? Why is that important? Well, I think now then indicates that it's time to accept the changes and to get ready for a new beginning, the new beginning that God is going to do in your life. All right? Moses is dead, now then. And so think about me. You've been there in these situations. You know, something in your life changes. There's been a new beginning, and oftentimes, what are the emotions that come along with that, right? We have emotions that come. We have feelings of anxiety. We have feelings of fear. Sometimes it's anger. Worry begins to creep up, you know, during seasons of change and new beginnings. But here God says, now then. Now then. Which means put our trust in God, because we know that his sovereign hand is guiding every step of my life. The sovereign hand, I want to encourage you and remind you this morning that the sovereign hand of God is leading and guiding your life this morning. And so we could ask the question, well then why can we trust God? Why can we trust God when we come into those new seasons and those new beginnings? And maybe God's closing one chapter and he's doing something new, but we don't exactly know what that is. I want to give you three reasons this morning that have really encouraged me over the years. And they have helped me to trust God during periods of new beginnings. Three things. Number one, because God is completely sovereign, because he is infinite in wisdom. Do this, get my fingers under control here. Number one, he's completely sovereign. Number two, he's infinite in wisdom. And number three, he's perfect in love. I have those three written in the front of my Bible because I don't ever want to forget them. Because change comes and new beginnings come. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about those this morning. Because I really believe, and because I've seen God do it in my life, that you will be able to have peace from God in our lives during seasons of transition and seasons of new beginnings when we know these three things. Because there's nothing that happens in life that's outside of God's guiding hand. There's nothing that happens in my life or in your life that's outside of God's guiding hand. God's word assures us that he oversees it all and he is working out his good purposes through it. And we know that he is love, and we know that he is infinite in wisdom, and that God is altogether so much smarter than we are. And so we're able to trust him. And so, you know, does that leave us with questions? Does it leave me with questions sometimes? Absolutely. Doesn't it? It leaves us with questions. And sometimes those questions, they're not always answered in this life. Sometimes they're only going to be answered in glory. But if we look at a couple different passages of scriptures, these are scriptures that speak to us on these things, and they encourage us. And so Isaiah 46 is one of those passages. We have a passage here that teaches us about the sovereignty of God, and I want to show it to you this morning. This is a doctrine that's really encouraging to you. It ought to be. It ought to be extremely encouraging to you. At the same time, it's incredibly perplexing for the human mind. It's really hard to fully understand this side of heaven. Look at this verse. This is within the context of God speaking to the Israelites when they're sort of going to the gods of Babylon, and they're sort of, you know, worshiping those, and it's all mixed up. And he wants to remind them, hey guys, this is who I am, okay? You need to remember that I'm God, and let me remind you of what my godness is like. All right, and so he says, remember the former things, those of long ago. He says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. Now look what he says. I make known the end from the beginning. God says, I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come? I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, isn't this amazing? Look at the specifics of this. God says, from the east, I summon a bird of prey. God can summon a bird to guide its direction. And from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. God can summon a man. He can raise him up and put him in a particular position and guide his life to accomplish the purposes of God. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. What God is saying here is that there isn't anything that happens in this life that God isn't seeing, that he doesn't have control over, or he isn't directing. He's doing all of those things. And I think God is saying us to us here that this is what it means to be God. He's telling us that this is what's at the heart of his godness, if you will. What it means to be God is that he declares the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not even yet done. So there's two things that God is doing here. One, he's saying, I declare how things turn out long before they've ever even happened. And secondly, he says, I declare not just natural events, but also human events. If you look at verse 10, he says, I declare from ancient times things not yet done. And what we're seeing here on display is you're seeing the foreknowledge of God on display, as well as how he knows or foreknows things that aren't even yet done yet. The Bible says he declares them. He declares them. He says, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish my purpose. Is this weighty stuff, right, for the human mind? This is amazing. But this is how God has revealed himself to us, because he's God. And so what this means is that in all things that happen, God has a purpose for it. God could not be sovereign if something were to happen outside of his ability to govern it. If that were possible, then that would mean that he would not be sovereign Lord over all things. Okay? You catch that? I mean, God could not be sovereign if something were to happen outside of his ability to govern it. If it were, then he could not be sovereign Lord over all things. And so yes, this is an overwhelming thing for us to consider in our minds when we ponder God, because he is completely different than us, right? I mean, completely different than us. He transcends all things. He transcends us. He is the creator. We're the creation. And so, and yet at the same time, even when we consider this from all of Scripture, it does not negate what the Scriptures teach, that God has given us a will, and how we use our will makes an eternal difference. And so you could spend a whole sermon on this. We could spend a lot of time on this, and we can't this morning. But just understand that there are tensions in Scripture that are hard for the human mind to understand, and it's okay, because God has put those tensions in there. It's who he is. And there are things that we're going to wrestle with, and you read the Bible sometimes, I just can't get my mind around that and figure out how that works. That's God. That's God. And so, for example, thinking about the sovereignty of God, we can read in the Bible, and we can understand, too, that even the bad things in life that happen, okay, the acts of sinful man, we see that God is still overseeing and in control, and he's working out all things for good. This is hard to get our minds around, but look at this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 4, verse 27. We see that an example of this. It says, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, all right, two men, they met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Notice this next verse. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Isn't that amazing? So I just think if God was overseeing and guiding even the sinful acts of man who put his own son on the cross, and that was for our good, we can trust God and his sovereignty with the things that happen in our lives. We can. Secondly, we can trust God because he is infinite in wisdom. God is completely infinite in wisdom. Look at this scripture, these two examples. Isaiah 55, you know this well, verses 8 and 9. It's just a reminder. God teaches us about himself, and he says this. He says, remember my thoughts. He says, they're not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. Paul puts it this way in Romans 11, verse 33 and 36. He says, oh, the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths. They're beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are what? All things. To him. So Paul just says, look, to him be the glory. He's like, this is blowing my mind. To him be the glory forever and ever. Now, I think about this, and I think we must understand that there will always be things that will happen in this life that we may never be able to fully understand or explain. God may choose to give us understanding, or he may not. But God gives us the scriptures to you and to me this morning like this, so that we can put our hope in him with confidence, so that you can put your hope in your life and the things in your life in God with complete confidence, knowing that God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing because he's God and I'm not. You know, I thought about this week, and I thought even on a real practical level, if somebody like God, if he can speak something into existence, like if he can just say bird, and there's a bird, I think I'm going to trust him, because I can't do that, you know? Okay? I mean, this is God. And so, and lastly, all right, he's completely sovereign over all things. So encouraging. He's infinite in wisdom. And number three, he's perfect in love. I want to encourage you this morning to remember that God is perfect in love. He's perfect. The Bible teaches us that God is love, not just that he has love, but he is love. 1 John 4:16. This is such an important verse because it tells me that love is a fundamental characteristic of who God is. Everything that God does is impelled and influenced by his love. That ought to encourage you this morning. Everything that God does is impelled and influenced by his love. 1 John 4:18 teaches us that God's love is perfect. This verse says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. The perfect love in this verse is talking about God's love, that his love is perfect. So these three things, they could provide a solid foundation for us, for you and for I to stand on. When new beginnings come, when change comes, and when a chapter's closing and we're wrestling through with a new beginning, when God is calling us to accept his plan because a chapter in our life is closing, our faith, my faith, your faith, I want to encourage you, it can stand strong, and it can hold us because we know that God is worthy of our trust. So I just want to encourage you this morning, are you trusting him in your life? Maybe you've recently walked through a chapter in your life that is closed in some way, or God's taking you on a journey into a new beginning. Maybe you have a chapter or a season of your life that closed a long time ago. Have you been able to accept God's plan and look to the future like we're going to with this verse and the things that in this passage that God says to Joshua? You know, have you been able to close that door and put your hope and your trust in God? God has given us his word to us this morning to say, yes, I want you to trust me. I want you to know that you can trust me. And so here's the second thing I think that really helps us. And we see this now. God saying this to Joshua. He says, a good verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready. Okay? Don't miss this. He says, get ready. And here's the second thing I think I see is that get ready in your heart to listen to God. That when in our lives, when a new beginning is coming, a new season, there's change, what do we need to do? We need to get ready in our hearts to listen to God. To take some time and to listen to God. God said to Joshua, now he said, it's time to move on, point one. And now he says, you need to get ready. God told Joshua that he and all the people, they needed to get ready because God was going to now lead them into the land that he had promised to give them. And in order for that to happen, they needed to be ready in their hearts to listen and obey and follow what God was going to do. And so I thought about this, and I thought, what does it take to get ready? I mean, think about that with me for a minute in your minds. Think about, in your life, what do you do when you're getting ready, right? What does it look like to get ready? And then what does it look like to get ready when it involves following what God is doing? Many of you who have had kids, you understand, you know, we're in this season of life. You understand what it's like. It's the huge difference between when you tell your kids to get ready, like to put your shoes on because you're leaving the house in 5 minutes versus when they actually obey and when they don't obey, right? You know the difference, right? Because you kind of come back in 5 minutes and you're like, okay, let's go. Why don't you have your shoes on yet? And you're like, ah, right? And you told them, I need you to get ready because there's something that you got to do that's important and you need them to come along and you want them to be ready and they're not getting ready, right? And so getting ready, I think, involves a sequence of steps. You know, if you think about it with an example of the children, you can't get out to the car until you put your jacket on. And you probably don't put your jacket on until you put your shoes on. You don't put your shoes on until you get off the couch, right? And so getting ready involves a sequence of steps. And when God is leading us into a new beginning, we need to get ready in our hearts to listen to him and to take the necessary steps that are required to do that. So how do we do that? How do we do that? I think it's really simple. I think, number one, we need to be in prayer and we need to be in the Word. We need to be praying. Are we praying? And we need to be in the Word. Because let me talk about this for a minute. During times of chapters, when life things are closing and new beginnings are coming, one of the things that I thought about this week is I thought, you know, we need to be careful not to allow ourselves to be led astray by thoughts and ideas that really aren't from God, right? So, for example, when you're going through a change and into a new beginning, If you're coming out of a difficult experience, it's possible that our own flesh or the devil might tempt you and try and get you to go in a direction that's a different path than what God would want for you, that would be in his will. And so sometimes it comes down to just a matter of straight up obedience. Sometimes it's just saying, yes, I know that this is what God has called me to follow him and to be obedient. So sometimes we need to be careful that we're not allowing, you know, Satan in our flesh to kind of lead us astray. And so we just need to straight up obey what God has told us to do. For example, when Jesus was getting ready to enter into a new season of his life, right? Into a period of his ministry, we read in the Bible that he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. And then what happened? You remember Satan came in and tempted him and tried to get him to fall there and to disobey and to step outside of God's will. And God was doing something of great importance, and at the same time, Satan was attacking and he was trying to get Jesus to fall, okay? Other times, I think it's a matter of prayer and listening to the Spirit and allowing God to lead you, because you need to listen to how God is trying to lead you. And you always take that and compare it back to the Word of God. But then you listen to what God is trying to say to you. And so I thought about this as part of our story for myself and our family. We had 2.5 years where after God had called us originally here from Park Forest, and we went into a different ministry for a little while. And in that ministry context, it was tough, because over that course of 2.5 years, we watched a church split, and we watched a church almost die before our eyes. And we wondered, personally, through the heartache and the pain that we'd been through, relationally with different things that had happened, we looked at ourselves and we wondered, we thought, man, is ministry even worth it anymore? Like, the wound that we had and what we were going through in our hearts just felt so heavy. And we were deeply hurt at the time. And we had conversations and we thought, maybe it's just too risky to start all over again and to potentially go through hurt and pain. I thought, maybe we just hang it up. Maybe we just get a job in the marketplace and give up ministry. And I want to tell you that for us personally, God was so close to us during that time. He was so close to us, and he had his ways of encouraging and speaking into us as we were praying and saying, God, what is it that we need to hear from you right now? Because our hearts are in so much pain. We're hurting so much. And I got to tell you, he was so personal. He was so close. And he what he did was he warmed our hearts again, and he reminded us of the significance of what he'd called us to do and the gifts that he'd given to us and what he wanted to do in the future. And so God brought us through that, and I'm so thankful that he did. And so sometimes, my point is, sometimes it's a matter of obedience, but it's also taking time to pray and really, really take those things to God when you're going through a season of change, a new beginning. And sometimes you might feel like giving up. You might feel like giving up, but I'm going to encourage you, don't. Don't. Other times, maybe the change is from the old to the new, and it's a huge blessing. Maybe God sometimes brings you into something that's a huge blessing in your life, and you're just really excited for it. And I think in those times, one of the things that we need to do is we need to guard against the temptation to forget that we're dependent on God, right? Because sometimes the blessings come and they're so good that we sometimes want to walk away from God, and we're like, man, everything's great right now, you know? I don't pray like I used to, and I'm not in the Word like I used to, because everything is so good, right? And so sometimes we have to guard against those things. And I'm going to move on here for time. Number three, this is the third principle that I think we see, and it's trust that God has not left you and he's still directing your life. Trust, when you're going through a season of change and a new beginning is coming, trust that God has not left you and he's still directing your life. Another way to say this maybe is be assured of God's presence. If you look at what God said to Joshua in verse 5, he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In verse 9, he says, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. I mean, why does God have to say this to Joshua? Probably because he's a little terrified. He's probably inside feeling, you know, tempted to feel a little bit discouraged, right? He says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, now this might be something that maybe you don't ever struggle with, but there are many people who do. When life throws a curveball and one chapter of life is closing, And during that period of transition, when a new one unfolds, sometimes some people give up on God. And even if it's just for a season. And they wrestle with questions like, God, where were you when I needed you? God, why didn't you step in and make things different? God, why am I here today in this situation? And if a person's faith isn't firmly rooted in God, sometimes people walk away from God. And so here God comes to Joshua, and I think he heads this off with Joshua, and he gives him a truth that he wants him to hold on to and never forget. And that's why God says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And I don't know, you know, what's going on in your life right now, but maybe you just need God to encourage you to say, remember that you are my child, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. This is the same thing, remember, that Jesus said to his disciples shortly before he left. We need to know this. We need to remember this. And so when these new seasons come, and sometimes they're tough, no matter what they are, God says, look, he said to Joshua, and he says the same thing to us. I am with you. I am with you. Don't forget that. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I want to just move on to the fourth point this morning. Again, here it is. Be strong and courageous in the Lord so that he can lead you where he wants to take things. This is what God said to Joshua. He says, and be strong and courageous, right? He says it two times in verse 6. And then he told him to be careful to follow his word, because this would be the thing that would guide him into what God wanted to do in Joshua's life, into this new beginning. So now think about this with me real quick. When Joshua was 40 years younger, okay, 40 years ago, he had the faith in the Lord that God wanted to give his people and fulfill this promise of to give them the land. And now 40 years later, God was going to use Joshua, a man who was now 40 years more mature, to lead probably over a million people, right? I mean, do you think Joshua was maybe a little bit nervous? I do. You know, do you think that maybe, he appreciated God coming to him to encourage him, right? Absolutely. You know, God is saying to him, Joshua, we're going to enter into this new season, and I want you to trust me because I'm with you. I want you to be strong. And he gives them the ingredients for success. Okay, now stay with me here, because I just think this is so important. He gives him the ingredients for success. When we're going through new seasons, it's a new beginning. What's the ingredient for success? He says, be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. He says, do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God says, keep your nose in this book. Keep your nose in your heart and your mind in my word. Keep it on your mouth, Joshua. Meditate on it day and night so that you can be careful to do everything in it. This is how God makes you strong and courageous during seasons of new beginnings. And it's so important that we stay in the word because God will lead us by his word. And so I just want to ask us this morning, remind us, and I'm pointing the mirror back at myself as well, how is God leading you today in your life in the Word? How's he doing that? How are we meditating on it? How is it on our mouths? How are we talking about it? How are we reflecting on it, engaging our minds and our souls with the Lord? I close with this story. A gentleman once told this story about him and his son. He said, one day, while my son Zach and I were out in the country climbing around in some cliffs, I heard a voice from above me yell, "Hey, Dad, catch me!" And I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock straight at me. And he had jumped and then yelled, "Hey, Dad!" And I became an instant circus act catching him. We both fell to the ground, and for a moment after I caught him, I could hardly talk. When I found my voice again, I gasped in expiration, "Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" And he responded with remarkable calmness, "Sure, because you're my dad." His whole assurance was based in the fact that his father was trustworthy. He could live to the hilt because I could be trusted. And isn't this even more true for the Christian? Isn't it? Do you believe that this morning? And so I just want to encourage you that you know, you may have gone through seasons of new beginnings in the past. I don't know what they are. I know I have in my life. But God is saying to us, trust me. trust me. Trust that I'm there. Trust that I'm with you. Trust that God is doing something that's of significant deep purpose, even if we don't understand what it is right now, you know. And so I want to ask if you would pray with me. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this awesome passage of Scripture in Joshua. And God, thank you that you're Lord over all, even through new beginnings. And Lord, we go through a lot of seasons of change in our lives. And some of them are great, and some of them are incredible, and others are hard, and others are difficult, and we know that. And so, God, would you just take the truths of your word today from this passage, and would you encourage us, Lord, that you are there, Lord, that you're working out your perfect plan, that you can be trusted. Lord, help us to accept the things that we need to accept and put our hope in you and to realize that hope is not lost. Lord, that you're good and that, Lord, you're doing good things, even sometimes in the midst of difficulty and suffering and pain. Lord, you promised to be with us. And Lord, we have this incredible hope to know that this life is not ultimately our home, that this is not it. Lord, Lord, being with you forever in glory because we're citizens of heaven. And so, God, I just want to take a moment as we're praying with every head bowed and eyes closed today. I just want to take a moment. I'm not going to call your name or anything like that, but if you're going through a season of a new beginning and you're saying, yeah, Pastor Jeremy, I'm going through a new season right now, and I'm wrestling with some of these things, I just ask, just slip up your hand because I just want to be able to pray for you. Just put your hand up and say, pray for me because I'm going through some things. Yes, I see those hands. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. 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 God, I pray that you would be with these people who raised their hands this morning. God, would you make your presence just so known to them in a unique and a personal way? God, the same way that you did with Joshua. Lord, you care about us so much, and you're not a God who's distant. You're not a God who's far away. But God, you're right here with us, and you speak to us sweet words of tender, loving encouragement. And God, we're thankful for that. God, thank you for teaching us that we can trust you from your word. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to walk with you in this way. We pray these things in Christ's name.